following 2-7. I think we're 2 or 3 years away from that. But we plan to put some things together that can be used in the local church on advanced Bible study, beyond course 6, learning some other skills. Also, advanced scripture memory. How will they go from 65 verses on up to 100? How will they maintain the 100? What is a realistic lifetime goal in scripture memory? Would it be to have 500 verses at our fingertips? You see, we're going to deal with some of those issues. So that the person who graduates from course 6, we're going to give them more help so that they haven't just gone through this, but all of these disciplines will be deepened and become a real part of their lifestyle. We'll be coming out on how to work one-on-one. We've touched on that. Something on notebook organization. To keep a little notebook together where we keep our quiet times, where we keep a prayer list and other things. Disciplines of a Beautiful Woman by Ann Ortland has some things in there. We plan to go beyond that. We plan a lot of details on how to do that and suggestions. Then the one-day conference formats that local churches can use. Evangelistic Bible studies, there's something in Course 6 on that. When we did our last revision, there was some real talk about leaving anything in there on evangelistic Bible study, just leave it out. But we got enough feedback from around the country from various sources that had been such a help that it still exists in Course 6. In the earlier field testing material, it was more thorough than it now appears in Course 6. But at least there's enough information in Course 6 that the self-starter can go out and do it. But we plan to put that together so that people can do that proficiently. Then some general evangelism input, probably 2 courses. With the evangelistic Bible study and the general evangelism, those 2 courses on evangelism so that we can deepen the outreach impact of these people. So much of Christian education has had the tendency to go inward rather than outward, where people have become highly conversant with knowledge, but not that sharp on application. And I've given you a thing called Bloom's Taxonomy. I would like to, I'm just about through, I'll be through in 5 minutes here. This is something that we've run into from, this is not Christian material, this is education material. But there are some applications here. If I could just have a copy of that, please. And this is displayed in usually one of 2 forms. You have one before you, which is like a plant with leaves, and then you have a stair-step effect. Bloom is an educator. Taxonomy is an English word that means order of things. I was not familiar with it until a PhD who was familiar with some of these things. Did an analysis of our basic clinic and gave us some insights into how to improve the clinic based on this information. But the lowest level of input is strictly knowledge, where people know, they can define, they can state certain things. For example, with our 10-year-old daughter, we were talking one day, and I said, let me show you how to remember how many books are in the Bible. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, and 3 times 9 is 27, so there are 27 in the New. It's a total of 66, and you can just remember that. 39, 3 times 9 is 27. Well, that's strictly cognitive. It's just knowledge. See, she can now tell how many books are in the Old Testament and the New, see? But it's strictly at a knowledge level. And then the next level up is at a comprehension or understanding level, and that's the ability to put it in their own words. And so often in just the Bible study material, we'll say, why don't you put in your own words what that means, what that's saying, what is there. And so we can often just ask, put that in your own words. What is grace, you see? That gets into the understanding level. Most of Christian education historically has been the first 2 levels. I don't say that critically, I just say that honestly. That we've been geared toward, do we have clear doctrine that is correct? Do we have pure doctrine, and do our people know that pure doctrine? And that's probably come out of the early 1900s modernist fundamental conflict, and our history does bring to bear certain things upon us. More and more we're seeing that the approach where application is being made, demonstrate how to give your personal testimony. show us how to do this. How do we apply this passage of Scripture? And there is more talk about this from the pulpit and in our Sunday school classes, and certainly in small growth groups, 2-7 groups, where there is a focus on application through the application questions. The top three levels are levels where of analysis, synthesis, and evaluation, where usually only pastoral staff and lay leaders operate. Most of Christian education, we're dealing down in those bottom two levels, maybe up into the third level. And of course, even from the pulpit, there's an attempt for application, but it's difficult for follow-through. Analysis is taking the whole thing and breaking it into parts to see what's there. We're dissecting, we're analyzing what is there and doing an analysis. Let's say, for example, in dealing with these top three levels, we're talking about evangelism. Okay, a person learns how to present their personal testimony. That's at the application level, right? They learn how to draw out the bridge illustration. That is at the application level. Okay, to do the analysis level, let's say that we brought them together and say, all right, we would like you to go through verses that have to do with presenting the gospel, and we would like to have you analyze what the ingredients are in biblically, what are the truths that we really need to get across. And so they dissect and they do some in-depth study, and they'll come up with some tremendous insights which are going to have an influence on their attitude toward evangelism and also toward the practical application of how they're going to do evangelism. On synthesis, we say, okay, let's take 6 weeks and let's go to Nigeria. And so we make a little trip over there, and there are a team of six of us. And so as a team leader, I say to our group, what we're going to do is we're going to take everything we've ever heard about evangelism, illustrations, approaches. We're going to get into this culture, and we're going to learn about how evangelism has historically been done in this country. So synthesis is where we take all these little bits and pieces of information and put it together. And so we're going to put together an approach for doing evangelism here in this culture in Nigeria. Well, realistically, we probably have to live there 5 or 6 years before we'd really be in a position to do something like that. But at least it illustrates it. Evaluation is we've done our little thing in Nigeria, and they say, hey, come on down to Kenya. So another summer, we go down to Kenya. And they say, you just evaluate this whole situation. You judge what should be done. You evaluate what kind of leadership we've got here, and what kind of, how the growth of these Christians is going, and who could be the basis for evangelism. So it's very involved. So in our process of developing these people through this process, in the 2-7 series, there's certain knowledge they will pick up. There'll be certain comprehension that will be deeper. Understanding questions, you see, drive that deeper. There'll be certain applications at the ends of Bible studies. There'll be certain pages they will fill in. There will be application. To evaluate themselves by the wheel in the hand is definitely an application sort of thing. See, they figure out where they are. And then they're getting so they can do a little more analysis as far as Bible study. They're sifting through some things. Synthesis, by the end of course 6, I think we could turn them loose and they could take some bits and pieces of things they've learned in the 2-7 series and disciple another group without access to the 2-7 series. They could do some of those things. Evaluation, usually you're talking about what pastoral staff do. Usually as lay people, we don't have to fool with that. But I thought it would be just of interest to you to run through that and see a secular education tool. And you may find some far-reaching application just in the ministry. And on the back page, an overview of all 6 courses. I won't go through that, but it gives you something to which you can refer. And keep in mind the overview of the whole picture of all 6 courses. All right, I've said more than I know now, so I'm through. But do you have any last comments or questions before we head out and go do it? Yes?
I have two questions. I really need answers for us, so, but I don't know if we should do it now.
Go ahead.
Okay, the first one is, the 2-7 is becoming a popular thing in our church, and our staff are really wanting us to push the 2-7, get people involved, and so we're getting a lot of calls from people who want to lead a group without, well, some people are students now who are like in course one or things, and some haven't been involved in it at all. So how do you tactfully, or what do you say to them, and how do you do it tactfully?
If you have people who are already in the 2-7 series who look like they would be good instructors and they have the heart and desire to do that, I don't see any problem about their going back to the training clinic and starting in course one, leading some people even though they're up to course three as a student. But I feel that is the exception, not the rule. That in most churches you could allow that individual or that couple to continue on. Your goal is to get graduates of course six. Let them continue on. Make them a graduate of course six because you've accomplished now some of these goals you set out to do, you know, with them. And find another couple who've never been in 2-7 and let them go through the training clinic and lead a course one. And you know, I would be very surprised if those people who are already up to say course three are just so indispensable, you know, that we've got to use them as instructors. I would question that.
We're finding a lot of, since our church is growing so quickly, there's sort of an emphasis on quantity rather than quality that you would get from going through the six.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the other questions is it fair to let somebody come in who has had no involvement with 2-7 whatsoever and go to a basic clinic? And you've got somebody over here who's already waded through book three, mm-hmm. and say, you can't teach it, but they can.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you've got to do is a little public relations with both parties. Because, see, for the strategy of what you're trying to do, your real goal is graduates of course six with those things operational in their life. And we're going to lose a year if we pull these people out of course three back to teach course one. So I would go to the people in course three and I'd say, listen, you'll be much more valuable to us if you continue on through as a student. And there's no doubt in my mind that you do a better job of leading course one than this other couple. But we really feel that you need to complete this and just pray for this couple that they'll do a good job and God will use them. See, a little PR there, and handle that thing and manage that thing and don't let it get away from you. But let me underscore a thing. I am fearful about recruiting too broadly for 2-7. Now, a thing that two of us are working on right now is some pre-2-7 material that is easier. And I just think that people don't realize how tough 2-7 is to really do it and do it well and have their assignments done on time and go in there and do it. It is not that simple. So I would say that we will have field test material available in October or November. And this is called growth group material. And it will be the type of thing where some of these people who are, as your church is growing, get some people into some of these smaller groups with some accountability, but with less accountability than 2-7. But I've seen churches that really mean business and are seeing some growth tending to over-recruit. And that's when you're going to start getting some attrition and start getting people dropping out that shouldn't drop out. So watch that. I don't have any problem with having 5 2-7 groups. I'm just going by the size of your church. Let's say. So you have 5 2-7 groups. And say, I'm sorry, you're on a waiting list for next year, but that's it. I don't have any problem with a waiting list. I think it's great psychology. If you add that one more group and you only have 3 people, I think it's counterproductive. I'd rather not start that next group and let that build up to a dozen people on a waiting list and go next year, and I think they'll be frothing at the mouth to do it. Yes?
Well, we have one of our pastors of our church says submit a budget for the cost of sending people to these clinics and for our next year. And he had 10 couples down to go to a clinic to start teaching a 2-7. To me, that's really rushing into it.
I feel that's true.
Pastor, you know,
right. This is a case where the staff pastor needs to go through the basic clinic.
He did.
He did. Okay. Okay. Then you bring in Mel Leader and say, hey, go, you know, you two guys talk. I really appreciate the pastor who thinks big and is not, you know, wait until after the Lord's return to go to work. That's bad theology, but you see what I'm saying. And I appreciate that in a man. But the other side of that is we've got to do a thorough job with the ones we've got. So you'll have to sort that out at home. I mean, at home base, at your church. Yes?
We had some people in our groups that were very, very interested in being leaders, and we felt that they were more than qualified to take it on. Mm-hmm. And when we explained to them that it would mean that they would have to leave the group they were in, then their answer was absolutely positively no, I'm not going to do it. I'm getting so much out of this group and I'm growing so fast that I don't feel like I want to leave this group. So when we gave them the information,
yes,
they made the decision themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point. Alan?
Right, yeah, in Courses Choir, you skipped over that material on daily, weekly, and future do lists. But I felt that with the people who were in our group, they gained most in terms of organization of life through those. They were really very, very helpful. So don't underestimate that.
Okay, so in Course 5, the daily, weekly, and future do list really had an impact. That's where they got their priorities and management things together better than in previous courses. Okay,
and
good.
I think for me, too, had a do list, you know, that long, the idea of the dream list was excellent.
Yes.
Just transfer things out to,
yes,
you know, they may be done next year.
Yes. It may never happen. Well, okay. Yes, one other thing.
Quickly on that, the connecting the answers to prayer out of the PACER concept with the prayer lists in Course 6, we found that was tricky. People said, well, I've got too many balls in the air. One of them dropped. They just dropped the answers to prayer list or didn't do a good job on the other.
Okay, so they didn't. I'm repeating for the tape here to be sure that we summarize it. That they had trouble tying together in Course 4 the answers to prayer, and then in Course 6 the prayer lists, and they tended to drop one, but to get their act together there. And I feel that there are going to be loose ends. We've talked about this. There are going to be loose ends at the end of Course 6 in varying degrees, depending on the quality of the instructor and the mix of the people in the group. But that would be a nice place to plug in the notebook organization type of thing, to where then we give them a method of putting these things together. So I think that you can see over the next few years more things coming together that you can use. Let me lead in a word of prayer, and if you want to stick around and ask any more questions, we'll handle those. Father, we thank you for this good time and pray that you'll lead us from this place to bring glory and honor to yourself. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.